Welcome back, everyone. This is the Red and Yellow Kingdom podcast. I'm your host, Scott, joined by Rich with your average everyday Chiefs talk. All of our episodes are available on most streaming platforms. Just search for the Red and Yellow Kingdom podcast. You can also check us out on our social media pages, such as Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the latest episodes and up-to-date Chiefs news. So, Rich, so speaking of latest and up-to-date Chiefs news, obviously yesterday was the roster cuts that were cut every team down from 80 players to 53. And also we our last preseason game was last Thursday as well. So with preseason now over, roster cuts are now done. I guess you'd say going into week one, which obviously we'll get to more next week for our preview, what is probably the thing you're probably excited about, I guess you'd say, for week one, other than now all the, what do you call it? I wouldn't say all the BS is over with, but it's something more like all the stuff that doesn't matter is over with, and now we're getting into the actual real season.
I mean, aside from literally just answering what you said, aside from that, I mean, it's just watching football, right? You know, even though week one of the NFL is technically next week, next week.
Right.
You know, college football being back this week. So just getting back in the swing of, I think how I operate as a human is the year doesn't start for me, or next year starts for me in September when football starts.
Correct.
So maybe not Chiefs specific, because, you know, obviously they'll start playing, you know, in week one. But yeah, for me, that's kind of just how life has been since I was a kid, right? Mm-hmm. You start school and then football starts.
Right.
And then as an adult, your kids start school, football starts, and it's like the world is back to normal.
No, I totally agree with that. And actually, I'm glad you mentioned college football, because I know obviously we mentioned on our last podcast at the end, we're talking about the college football game that was coming out later next year. But obviously we had, you know, there's a game in Ireland that was played on Saturday with the Nebraska Cornhuskers and Northwestern, I believe. So the funniest thing, obviously, I didn't get to watch most of the game because I was volunteering the whole day, but I did catch a little bit of it on TV while I was there, when I was indoors or whatnot. But the funniest thing is, I heard when I looked at my phone, was that the credit card machines were down. So I guess so, you know, in America, if that happened, they would just be like, nah, we're stopping sales, right? We're not even gonna let you out. Well, I guess they were actually giving away free beer and food and everything to everybody that was there.
So speaking of beer, did you see them make like this humongous, I don't know if you call it like a shotgun, I'm not the most beer enthusiast from a game perspective, but they made this humongous like shotgun from lower level to mid level.
I know what you're talking about. That my boss said it was when we were talking about that the other day. I forget what he called it, but it's something called something different. But where I know what you mean, where you stack like the cups and you try to make it up to like however high up is that we're talking about. Yeah. I didn't get to see that, but I guess he said that it almost reached like the next level up and then it like collapsed on like a whole row of people.
Yeah.
So that was pretty good.
At least I had a good time, right? And as a Nebraska fan, you probably have to find other ways to have a good time nowadays.
Right. So I just thought that was, you know, funny, because, you know, obviously, you know, over in Europe and whatnot, if something goes wrong like that, they don't really care. They're just going to give away things free. You know, in the United States, they would never do something like that. they would be like, we're not selling anything. Sorry. We're just down for the meantime. But I didn't know if any other games went on last week. I know that was the biggest one. So, I mean, obviously, you know, this Saturday is probably obviously where most teams are playing. But was there any other games that happened on Saturday?
There was a ton. There was a ton. There was a North Carolina played FAMU.
Oh, wow. I should have known that. I totally forgot about that, because I had notifications on my phone for that, but I didn't get to follow it all day. But I remember that. You're right.
Yeah. So there were a few of those, and I tried watching some, but football isn't very good. But this upcoming weekend, we've got some nice ones. Like the big one, if I'm not mistaken, is it this weekend? Now I'm sitting here thinking, because I just looked at it. But if I'm not mistaken, Notre Dame plays Ohio State in Columbus.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And then I think I was looking at that earlier. And yeah, so Saturday, September 3rd, that's a big game. And if I'm not mistaken, which maybe this game doesn't have as much power as it used to, but Florida State and LSU play Sunday night. So
interesting.
You know, big names. Maybe they're not at the at their peak right now, but you know, it's always fun to watch good football.
For sure. Yeah. So like I said, it's that time of year where you're getting amped up for the first game of the regular season in the NFL, and then obviously you said college football getting officially kicked off with most schools this upcoming Saturday. So it's definitely that time of the year. So it I know, like I said, both of us are pretty excited to get us all started. All right, so just a real recap, real quick recap of the Green Bay Packers Chiefs preseason game number 3. Like I said, it was last Thursday, and it was obviously that we ended up winning game 17-10. But like I said, so many times before, preseason doesn't matter, so it's just know about the wins and losses, especially in the third preseason game. It's all about you know, some of those players that are trying to make that roster that – it's like I think what you kind of mentioned last week is like that, you know, that 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, like kind of spot. Like, so like those last five spots normally is what they're kind of looking at for that last game. And so just kind of quickly, you know, obviously Shane Buechele played most of the game. The third string quarterback looked pretty much, you know, great again from what he had done in the previous two preseason games that he's done so far. And the, I think it was like, 11 for 17 for 166 yards and two touchdowns, which both of those touchdowns came to a guy nobody heard of until the game on Thursday, which was Matt Bushman, tight end, who was playing for a roster spot. He ended up with three catches, 73 yards and those two touchdowns. But the main story about him was he ended up breaking his clavicle towards the end of the game. And actually the Chiefs actually placed him on IR today. So he was one of the players that placed on IR, but he was fighting for a spot that would have been, you know, obviously with Blake Bell out, he would have been fighting for that fourth spot, tight end or maybe fifth string. So, you know, not like a big name to really worry about as far as injury wise, but he was just a new name that no one really knew about until Thursday. Just some other quick notes. Rookie safety Brian Cook had a nice interception before the first half. While the Packers were driving, it was a pretty nice interception. Pacheco had, I think, 10 carries, 52 yards when he was in the game. So it was good seeing him get a little more time. The guys that I put as far as and what I was reading too, even because I didn't get to watch the whole game, but just watch highlights, is Ronald Jones, running back, and also linebacker Darius Harris were the two most impressive players from those games. Actually, those two players made it onto the roster, with Ronald Jones being one of four running backs, which will – well, five if you can count the fullback, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. And then Darius Harris actually beat out Jermaine Carter for that last linebacker spot currently. And, you know, it's interesting because Jermaine Carter started all – was it 17 games last year for the Carolina Panthers? So they seem to really like him and his performance. But those guys basically made themselves onto the roster by their play from that game. But that was pretty much really it, just kind of a quick recap. You know, kind of like I said, it was mostly just about those players that were just kind of trying to make that final roster spots for our team. So moving into the roster cuts, I guess I'll start it with quarterback. I'll let you start with quarterback, and we'll kind of go position by position. And at the end of like even offense, we'll just see if there's any kind of like snubs or anybody kind of thought surprises that made the roster.
Yeah, for sure. So obviously quarterback one being Patrick Mahomes, this backup being Chad Henne and Shane Buechele or Buechele, right? We seem to never get it right. I hear it on TV and I say the opposite.
There's going to be some names on this list. On that. Yeah.
So yeah, those are the three quarterbacks, right? Mahomes, Henne, and Buechele. I'm going to just say Buechele.
So, quick question. I mean, I know you probably say the questions for most of it, but were you surprised we kept three quarterbacks?
I was, because I think two makes sense. Now, I get why basically every team carries three, knock on wood. You know, we've been healthy for the most part, you know, in the Mahomes era. But I think it makes sense. So, maybe not surprised, like, at a big rate, but I think Shane deserved it. Henne, I think – obviously, Shane has a higher ceiling. We already know what Henne is as a backup. It's always good to have an experienced backup. I think Shane has just played his tail off. And I think one day, whenever Henne retires or whatever his contract runs out, whichever one of those two things comes first. I think Shannon will probably be the natural number two.
Right.
But yeah.
All right, so moving on to the running backs, which I kind of mentioned, we have kept four running backs, five total. And obviously those running backs is Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Jerick McKinnon, Isaiah Pacheco, Ronald Jones, and then if you count the fullback in Michael Burton. So obviously a little bit surprised there with Ronald Jones, but you know, we'll try and see what ends up happening with that if they do end up keeping that same amount of running backs, because I guess I heard that the Chiefs might be trying to trade him. But I guess what quick thoughts on us keeping four running backs?
Yeah, so this one was definitely surprising to me because of the four running backs, right? I think obviously, you know, Helaire is one. To me, Pacheco has definitely gained, let's say, a promotion from seventh round rookie to potentially the 2B. I think McKinnon and Jones are technically two. So here's the thing, right? The running back position is the most hurt position in football. So eventually some guy goes down and you can obviously plug in someone else. So it's good. They also mentioned, you know, they really like how Pacheco catches out the backfield. So it's a luxury to have, I guess, at this point. You know, as long as, for me, I really want to see Pacheco get some first team reps, you know, against first team defenses. So that's the biggest one for me.
Yep. I definitely sure as well. I mean, like, I just think it's obviously, I think one of them are going to get moved or end up getting waived eventually. But for now, I think obviously they just wanted to go with four to see what they have. Cause, and unless they had, you know, real, you know, thing about having Pacheco play like a lot of minutes, I just don't see, or not a lot of minutes, sorry, a lot of snaps, you know, I just don't see how, you know, they can end up keeping all four. And they, like I said, Ronald Jones made himself into that roster on the final preseason game. So this is going to be really interesting to see where they divvy out the snaps, even though Pacheco, like we kind of mentioned, I think a little bit ago that in one of our episodes that he's mostly going to be a returner anyways. So we'll just have to see about that going forward. And then on to, let's see, the wide receivers. I guess it's up to you, Rich.
Yeah, for sure. So in no particular depth chart order, but you've got Mecole Hardman, Juju Smith-Schuster, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Sky Moore, and the preseason, I guess you can say MVP, and Justin Watson. Five receivers. I think for the most part of mine, nothing surprising. I thought we would have maybe carried one more, but in a way we kind of do with the practice squad, right? So what are your thoughts there?
Right. I think we talked about that on the last episode. That was one of our main topics there on the end, as far as like, will we keep five? Will we keep six? And you're kind of discussing about Josh Gordon, you know, obviously probably wasn't going to make it. Corey Coleman was kind of there just for special teams. And it was kind of down to Fountain and Powell for that sixth spot. So to me, it's not really a surprise that they kept five. I think they just obviously with going with three quarterbacks and even, like I said, four or five running backs altogether, it's not really a surprise to me, to be honest. They only kept five.
Yeah, I mean, and Gordon, obviously Josh Gordon is someone I think a lot of people were rooting for. You know, I was one of those that, if by all means, you know, if he turned out to be this, the wide receiver who was in 2013, great. Mm-hmm. I think it ended as I thought it would. And yeah, it is what it is. You know, hope for the best for him going forward if he's able to land on his feet somewhere and maybe get some good years. You know, even if he's a number four or five guy on the roster, I think that's good for him.
Definitely. Yep. All right. So moving into tight ends, obviously Travis Kelce one, Noah Gray being two, and Jordy Fortson being three. They did actually keep Blake Bell on the roster, but he actually will end up being put on IR probably in the next few days, I would imagine. So I'm surprised it wasn't today, but he'll be put on IR. So no real surprise there. I think even if, you know, Blake Bell wasn't hurt, we were still going to keep all four of those guys. So no real surprise. I think they're from the tight ends position. And it looks like we got, let's see, offensive line up here next.
All righty. So in no particular order, even though I guess the starting five will go first, kind of. So you got Orlando Brown Jr., Joe Thuney, Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, Andrew Wiley, Jaron Christian, Nick Allegretti, Prince Tega Wanogu, and Darian Kennard. The five starters being Orlando Brown at left tackle, Joe Thuney at left guard, Creed Humphrey at center, Trey Smith at right guard, and right tackle being Andrew Wiley, with I think Christian and maybe potentially, you know, as the season progresses, maybe Darian Kennard gets some reps there. I don't, no surprises at all for me. I think this is the line that we all thought. You mentioned Lucas Niang earlier, and he's, you know, unavailable. So they're moving on with, you know, what they got. And again, right, no surprises for me.
Yeah, with Lucas Niang being put on the physically unable to perform list for the first four games of the year, so he can't play until week five. Obviously, like I said, he could be thrown into the hat there on right tackle as well. But, yeah, like I said, for right now, it's going to be Wiley, and like you said, probably some time for Kennard and Christensen mixed in there too as well. But, yeah, for me, no surprises on that offensive line. So, overall, I guess on the offense, was there anything else that might have stood out? But I think we kind of covered it, but I'm not sure if there's anything else that might have stood out on your end.
Nope, yeah, we definitely covered it. Running backs, right, was maybe one more than what we all thought, and receivers was one less than I think what I thought. But, yeah, aside from that, everything seems to be spot on, right? We've talked about, and we'll kind of share the sentiment on the defensive side of the ball, but when you're really a team, there shouldn't be that many surprises, right? Because most of your roster is set. You've got some surprises, some people that are taking off in their development, some people that are dying down in their development or regressing in their development. So,
correct.
Nothing surprising on that, right?
Right. So far we've done through the offense, I definitely hadn't seen anything surprises from the team. So on the defensive side, so on the defensive line, we actually end up going with 10, which this one kind of surprised me a little bit. I think when we talked about this last episode, I think I was thinking around 9. So they added actually having 10 in there. But, I mean, to me, it's a surprise, but it's not really probably overall surprise to a lot of people. So basically I said in no order as well. That is for defensive ends, I'll just also say Carlos Dunlap, Frank Clark, George Kloftis, Tershawn Wharton, Mike Dana, Joshua Cadone, and Malik Herring. So those are the six defensive ends. And then back to the defensive tackles inside, Derek Nnadi, Chris Jones, Colin Saunders, and Tershawn Wharton. So those are your 10 guys. Any surprises for you there? Like I said, other than maybe keeping 10, I mean, I don't think the names are really surprised.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Aside from maybe the fact that 10 are kept, I like that Malik Herring. Looks like he's going to be given a chance to, you know, train with the first team constantly. I know he didn't train at all last year, right? Since he was basically on our IR at practice squad. But, you know, just getting in that environment, being a first team player, or not a first team, but a 53 man player, I'm excited to see him because he was a good defensive end in college, right? And had he not had that bad injury his last year at Georgia, probably would have been a day one to day two pick. So, Kendo, he's someone who I know is super athletic, and, you know, maybe this is a year where he takes another step up. You know, we've talked several times about Carl Aftis. So it's a fun group. And when if you can interchange, you know, two to three guys at every single position, keep them fresh so that when you hit the fourth quarter and those offensive linemen are beat up a little bit more, you can, you know, have fresher guys. So I love it so far. You know, the defense looks good. And then defensive tackle. I think some people, right, were maybe a little hype on Danny Shelton. I think it was more because they saw the pictures of how big of a man he is. But defensive tackles make sense. I think this is Colin Saunders' last year to prove it since he's been hurt a lot.
Agreed.
So that'll be another interesting player because he has the ability, but he's just been often injured way too much, right?
Yeah, very correct. Yeah, I totally agree with everything you had kind of stated about those guys, especially, like I said, Malik Herring. Glad they kind of gave him, like I said, the good him a chance this year. Interesting to see if they will actually end up keeping 10 throughout the year, but I like it. I mean, like I said, for the 10 that they kept. So moving on to, let's see, the linebackers.
Which linebackers, every time I keep looking at this list and when it first came out, I'm like, really, only four linebackers?
I know.
That's just modern-day football, right?
Yeah.
Because you're so used to either if you're in a 3-4 set, yeah, your outside linebackers are more like defensive ends. You know, your two Mike and your Ted linebackers. So you really just have like four or five that are rotating inside linebackers. In a 4-3 system, you have three and you have two at each spot, so you usually have six. So it's just weird. But anyways, it's Nick Bolton. You know, he'll play the mic, Willie Gay, Leo Chenal, and Darius Harris. But, which I know you'll probably talk about it a little bit later on, right? Elijah Lee will eventually be on the squad, right, once the transactions fall as they may. So Elijah Lee, the local guy from St. Joe / Blue Springs, right?
Right.
Will also be in that linebacker core. So any surprises there? What are your thoughts on the 4/5?
No, you kind of covered it with this as far as, like I said, you know, it is strange that you only have four. I mean, obviously we'll have our fifth with Lee soon. So, you know, actually make look at least a look on paper, like it would be complete to me anyways. But no, the surprise as far as the guys did, the only, I will say, out of all the ones that had made the team and the positions and everything, I will say, Darius Harris getting it over maybe like Carter at first. That's just, I guess the only way I would say is that's kind of maybe the most surprising move there, but you know, probably in the end, they saw something better in Harris. So it's not like an absolute surprise, but of all the surprises, that's probably where I would say that Carter didn't end up making a team. But, you know, because I guess they felt like even they wanted to keep Darius Harris even over Lee and then, you know, wait to have – they might have thought that Harris probably wasn't going to make waivers, so that's why they kept him over Lee, you know, at least at first. But, yeah, overall, like I said, that's just the way it is nowadays with, you know, teams that's a passing league. So you're going to keep more in your secondary and maybe even defensive line over your linebacker. So, yeah, no surprise. So on – speaking of the secondary, kind of like sort of break these down by cornerbacks and safety positions. So on the cornerbacks, we end up keeping five with end up keeping six with no surprises with – obviously, our starters with Legarius Sneed, Trent McDuffie, the rookie, Rashad Fenton, Jalen Watson, another rookie, Joshua Williams, another guy we had drafted, and then also Chris Lamons with our sixth spot there. Who, like I said, mostly probably play special teams. But any surprises for you on those six that we end up keeping?
No, like we had talked about Chris Lamons.
Right.
And if he was going to be, you know, if he was going to be six, if they carried six, it makes sense to carry six, right? Like you said, in a passing league. But no, aside from that, I mean, don't know too much about Jalen Watson, right? We obviously don't have DeAndre Baker this year and Charvarius Ward. So Watson, Williams, and Lamons, well, I think we'll hear those names a lot more. And Williams is, for me, the guy that, you know, I hope he's our next Legarius or Charvarius Ward, meaning right. High round draft pick, or maybe it's backwards, low round draft pick, since even though the number goes up, but you know, the higher number, the lower you are. But yeah, Joshua Williams is, I think, a guy who I think by the end of this year, we'll really see some good things from him and we'll hear his name
more
and on a snap count, right? Not so much on a field, because if you hear cornerback a lot, they're getting targeted way too much.
Very true. Yep. And then just kind of end out with the four safeties. Probably no surprise. Probably the most position is probably no surprise at all. I mean, obviously you're gonna keep Juan Thornhill, Justin Reed as your starters, and Deion Bush and Brian Cook as the backup. So that one's probably the most. You know, that was just not gonna change with those four. Anything on that, on those safeties at all?
No surprises at all. You know, Thornhill, like you said, right? I guess your most experienced on the Chiefs. Justin Reed, your new guy, our new signing from Houston, young, energetic, really smart, physical. Brian Cook, you know, we've seen some of his athleticism and his ability or his willingness to hit people. And then Deion Bush, you know, one guy who I'll always be close to because he's a Miami Hurricane. And he's physical. We know that. He's physical. He's more agile than, let's say, our typical safeties over the years. I think you know which safety I'm talking about in specific.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be a fun group, and the whole defense has gotten lighter, faster, younger, so we should see some good things.
Very true. So yeah, defense overall, I think we just didn't really see much surprise, like I said, other than, you know, maybe Darius Harris got that linebacker spot over Jermaine Carter, but no real surprise. And then, you know, kind of obviously the end out special teams, it's the same. this last year. I'll go over it. I mean, Tommy Townsend, punter, Harrison Butker, the kicker, James Winchester, long snapper, punt returner, it will be Mecole Hardman. We'll probably see a little bit of Sky Moore and Trent McDuffie maybe rotate in there, but I think mainly it's going to be Hardman. And then kick returner, you'll definitely probably see the rookie Pacheco doing most of the returns on kickoffs. So that's pretty much the 53-man roster. Like I said, I think at the end of the day, when we kind of predicted this on the last episode, I mean, this was kind of where we were going to go with for the most part in here anyways. Other than, like I said, maybe an extra linebacker, maybe an extra wide receiver. But other than that, I mean, these are pretty much the names we're going to, you know, come up with on that end. So, so speaking of all the players that didn't make rosters, you know, a lot of teams are either pulling people off waivers today or teams are re-signing players back to the practice squad. So I think as of right now, the Chiefs still have about two spots open left of the practice squad. They have about 14 that have been signed out of the 16. I'll just kind of run over the notable ones that did get picked for the practice squad so far this year. Safety, Zane Anderson, who was on a practice squad last year. So that was not a surprise that we brought him back. Wide receiver, Darius Fountain, that a lot of people thought he'd actually make that sixth wide receiver spot. So him or actually Powell, which Cornell Powell actually made the practice squad as well. So both of those two wide receivers did get brought back on the practice squad. Tight end Jordan Franks, who was actually the guy that probably would have placed Bushman for the other spot, I guess, if the Chiefs didn't want to keep four after Blake Bell being on IR. But he's on the practice squad. Najee Johnson, safety, I think there's our seventh round pick. He ended up back on the practice squad. And then let's see, defensive end Azir Kamara, who was actually on the Cowboys Hard Knocks, if you remember watching that from last year, that we had signed him relatively late in training camp. He ended up making our practice squad. And for right now, we have linebacker Elijah Lee, which we mentioned. This is only a temporary thing. Within probably 24 hours, he's going to be on the main roster with Blake Bell, like I said, going to IR. And then Austin Reeder, who was our starting center for the Super Bowl, and he ended up being signing him back during the offseason, but he ended up making the practice squad, so that's very good depth there for the center spot. And then kind of surprising, but defensive tackle Danny Shelton, who we actually signed late in training camp, signed him back on practice squad. So that's some of the notable players that we had signed back. Any insight on some of those players at all?
No, I mean, nothing too crazy. I think it's been known, right, that I'm a big Cornell Powell fan since his days at Clemson and his development there. So I hope, you know, at some point, sometime within, you know, the next year or two, he finds his way on our roster. I think the ceiling for him is maybe a third, fourth wide receiver, and that's, you know, very high ceiling for him.
Right.
But, yeah, aside from that, I mean, we talked a little bit about Elijah Lee, right, and it's just a transactional thing at the moment. So that's, you know, it's always cool to have a local guy on the Chiefs. I think everyone, you know, roots for him a little bit more, even though he did go to K-State. So, yeah, that's really it from my end.
All right, and so as far as any kind of injuries we've had or anything, as far as we'll cover more of any kind of questionable or doubtful players for week one next week, but just to kind of recap, anybody else that we haven't discussed, obviously we talked about Blake Bell, we talked about Lucas Niang, obviously everyone knows about Justin Ross, the undrafted wide receiver from Clemson, obviously on IR for the year as well. As far as any of the players from preseason, like I said, we'll get updates next week. It did appear that I think Marquez Valdez-Scantley did actually practice earlier this week, and I think Juju Smith did as well. So that's a good sign heading into week one. You know, kind of give you an update over the next week and see what happens with that. I also think, Rashard Fenton was another one who had a groin injury through a little bit through the preseason, was also doing some practicing. And I believe Trent McDuffie, let's see, I haven't seen a whole lot of him recently, but I think he left with concussion near in that Packers game, but I think they said he should be fine for week one as well. But that's pretty much as far as most of the injuries that we've kind of gotten known for as far on during preseason and training camp. So like I said, we'll have more updates on that for next week. So as far as our final thoughts topic for today, we kind of just want to give maybe a little few thoughts on maybe a few things we would think about going into the season. So I'll start with you, Rich, but as far as what is some of the things or what's something you probably were most looking forward to out of this Chiefs defense going into the 2022 season?
Being a wide receiver and a defensive back guy, you know, those are always the two positions I look at outside of the quarterback. And for us, right, we've got a new wide receiving core with, you know, really only what one player from last year's group in McColl. So I think this group is the deepest from a talent perspective that Patrick has had in his whole time here. Now, to say that there's one guy of the ability of, you know, some of the former wide receivers that we've had, no, but there's a lot of better talent overall. Right. So I think for me, that's the biggest thing that I'm looking for is what does the target distribution look like? Is it Juju being, you know, one next to Kelsey or two next to Kelsey? Is it someday it's Juju and then, you know, the next day MBS is blowing up? Does McColl take that jump? Can Justin Watson transition, you know, that stellar play from preseason to the actual regular season? And then what does the rookie Sky Moore look like? He's been a training camp favorite. From a highlight perspective, when he run routes, love his ability to catch the ball with his hands. But, you know, it's obviously much different once it's NFL regular season football, right? So that for me is the thing I'll be looking at the most. I'm confident in, obviously, Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy, and even Matt Nagy's ability to make sure we get everything out of this group and putting them in positions to where they are successful, as successful as they can be. So for me, that's the thing I'll really be looking at is the wide receiver group, how they play together, how they play in this new offense. You know, who's that guy? Is it more by committee or is there really a guy next to Travis Kelce?
Right. Cause I mean, you know, obviously we had some departures at wide receiver. So now they're looking to more, you know, spread the ball around more this year on different things. I guess quick question, cause you obviously had brought up the wide receiver spot. Where do you think, you know, even somebody like Justin Watson, who had a really good preseason, but you also have a rookie too in Sky Moore. I mean, ultimately, you know, obviously these guys are probably fighting for, you know, around fifth or sixth look targets, maybe. I mean, obviously with MVS, Hardman, and Juju, Travis Kelce. So, I mean, ultimately, where do you think those guys might fit in? I mean, is it kind of just like, you know, certain situations, or what would you say? You would think, anyways.
I don't know. That's a hard one because – so let's say I'll kind of start differently and then I guess I'll lead into that answer. So I think Juju without a doubt will be the one, right? I think that'll be usually the one that we scheme for one. Then who is two and three? Is it MVS? Is it McColl? I think those two alternate on two and three. Juju did take a lot of snaps out of the slot last year, which is McColl's spot, which is probably a spot that Sky could be running out of. Right. So I think at the end of the day, what will happen is Sky Moore will be fighting with McColl Hardman for, let's say, third on the pecking order targets, right? So I think it'll be Juju, MVS, and then Sky Moore and McColl fighting for the third targets. I think – we already know, I guess, we almost know McColl's ceiling and how much better he can get. Sky, we don't. The one thing, you know, let's say McColl has struggled with consistently is his hands and his focus on whether it's, you know, the route, the play, catching in traffic. And what we've seen so far from Sky is the ability to do all those things with route discipline, with creating separation, with his hands. So for me, that's what's going to happen. So even though I kind of answered that, I led into your question. For me, yeah, I think that's what happens with Sky Moore is Sky Moore is battling between four and three, but he could get all the way up to the two. And then Justin Watson, I think he'll have like two or three touchdowns this year and it'll be a few really, really nice plays, but he'll have less than maybe 30 catches all year. So
makes sense. Yeah. There's just so many mouths to feed, right? It's just
really kind of a good problem.
Yeah, that is a good problem. And it's good to see players like that step up in preseason, because if you know you have injuries, like we've had a few minor ones in preseason, those guys can just kind of step up. So that's always good to see that. So as far as on myself, and we'll actually get to like another quick one too on the defensive side. But for me, it's the offensive line. It's actually not even the whole offensive line. I'm talking about right tackle, just because you know last year, you know we built a new offensive line basically from the ground up. You know with you know signing Joe Thuney, left guard, trading for Orlando Brown at left tackle, drafting Creed Humphrey at center, and drafting Trey Smith at right guard. Right tackle was kind of one of those things that still was. Well, we have Lucas Niang, who missed this whole, you know, first season, that we're going to plug him in, and he should be that other guy to go along with these other four guys on there. And you know, it kind of at first it was just kind of it looked like it might have been kind of a backfire thing, and says, well, looks like Niang hasn't done the greatest job, and then he ended up getting hurt, and Andrew Wiley stepping in for him, and I wouldn't say Andrew Wiley played the absolute best right tackle we had seen, or you know anything like you know compared to when we had Schwartz on our team, you know playing right tackle you know before, but you know he played well enough that I wouldn't say it ever was really noticeable that it was kind of lackluster. I know when Niang came back from injury, I think he played a little bit in there just to kind of see if you know he might be a better fit, but obviously Andrew Wiley finished out the rest of the year there at that right tackle spot, and it was average. So you're going into this year, obviously he is still the right tackle. And like I said, you know, there really isn't, if you looked on the market now for free agency for anybody that's, you know, right tackles available, there really isn't anybody out there. I mean, even for tackles period, I think when I was reading earlier, I mean, obviously Eric Fisher and I think Nate Soldier is like really the only guys that are kind of available at tackle, and they're kind of past their prime at this point. So, you know, going forward with that, that's kind of my interesting spot to see that hopefully, you know, maybe I wouldn't say, you know, Wiley plays. I mean, hopefully, obviously, he plays the best he can ever play, obviously, but I just hope to see that maybe he kind of solidifies is that right tackle, or if not, someone like Jawan Christian, who we brought in, and also drafting Darian Kennard, you know, steps in, and maybe they are the guys, right? So that's kind of where I'm looking forward to, is just kind of just solidifying that last spot on the offensive line, especially when you have, you know, great offense and quarterback with Patrick Mahomes. So that's kind of where I'm going with to see what happens with that. So as far as on the, I guess you would say, like, defense, what were the things that kind of looking forward to the most on that side of the ball?
For me, it's just the youth, right? How does the youth develop? I really like George Karlaftis. You know, I know that coming out of college, he maybe wasn't the fastest off the ball. He's more of a big body, you know, in that J.J. Watt type frame, big defensive end. But he slimmed down, and he looked so explosive, you know, in the reps that he did get. You know, you're looking at guys like T.J. Watt, J.J. Watt, Nick Bosa, Joey Bosa. Those, you know, even almost Myles Garrett, he may not be as big as Myles Garrett, which no one is, but those long arm, overall big, powerful, with a little bit of, with some speed, defensive ends that have a good first step. So his growth, Trent McDuffie's growth, what does Thornhill's roll down look like? You know, Justin Reed. So overall, just growth from the defense, Bolton, Gay. You know, I guess your most experienced player is Chris Jones, right? Everywhere, well, I guess Chris Jones and Frank Clark. So right. Getting to kind of leading the way for all these young, energetic players. So for me, it's the development of the defense and then the style of play. Is it going to be a lot more physical? I think for the last couple of years, we've kind of been, we've tried to be an attacking defense. You know, we blitzed a lot, but I think more now, can we create more organic pressure with your front line? And then can you be a little bit more physical because you're more faster because more faster doesn't make sense, right?
I use that phrase sometimes, you know, like, wait, I want to talk about this. It makes sense.
So for me, it's that, right? It's just the development of the defense. What does the overall style look like? Because you have a new set of players that are younger, faster, and more violent. So for me, that's the big thing on defense.
And, you know, I think we were talking about this a while ago too, that, you know, I think in our chat or whatnot, that, they're not going to come together, you know, right away. I mean, this is a young defense, probably one of the younger defenses that we've seen right on this Chiefs team. Like I said, but definitely, you know, faster as well. But, you know, don't be surprised that, you know, it might take them 7-8 weeks, you know, to kind of mesh together all at once. But kind of, you know, piggyback on what you kind of said was about on the defensive line that, you know, this will be obviously with the 10 guys we kept, but, you know, especially the rookies with George Karloftis and someone new like Carlos Dunlap with them kind of switching off some on that defensive end to see kind of can we get to the quarterback more? Can we get create more sacks or pressure? Our secondary doesn't have, you know, have to rely on being tackles a lot, right? Making tackles and all that. Because like you mentioned earlier, when your cornerback safeties are making a lot of those tackles or, you know, getting a lot of those targets, it's like, you know, you're obviously probably not doing well up front. And I think that's what we kind of struggle with recently. So that's something I say I kind of would just kind of look forward to and see, like I said, how that defensive line, you know, does this year and kind of just how that young secondary in the back kind of develops as well. So that is actually going to be the end of today's episode. We'll be back next week to kind of gear up for obviously the start of the season with that week one matchup in Phoenix, Scottsdale, I guess you would ever say, against the Arizona Cardinals. And then I guess we'll also be talking about our predictions for the year, not only for the Chiefs, but even make our actual Super Bowl predictions. I think we kind of mentioned a little bit, obviously, when the schedule came out and the kind of that stuff, but this is actually like what we really think about now that the season's actually kind of started. So look forward to all of that next week. And like I said, just get ready for the season coming up. I know you're excited. I'm excited. Let's get this thing, you know, get this thing rolling finally.
For sure.
All right. So thanks again for everyone listening. Don't forget to follow our podcast and go.